Hello, it's Megan here. Before we get started, I want to apologize for the sound quality. My microphone has been acting up lately, and clearly it switched from my professional microphone to the microphone attached to my camera. So I apologize that I sound like garbage, but the conversation is so wonderful, I wanted to keep it. Hello, we are about to draw the winner of our contest that we have been running on Instagram. The winner will receive a Temperance, a Major Arcana deck, as well as a Mistletoe Kiss mini candle from Wick Witch Apothecary in Merrickville. I have my daughter Audrey here today.
Yo, peeps!
She has written out everyone's handle who entered on Instagram, and she is going to draw the name. So I'll shake them all up. Can you close your eyes? All right, pick a name. Okay, and read it into the microphone.
At Amanda Maymay.
Yay! Congratulations. At Amanda Maymay, please get in touch with me via DM on Instagram, and we will figure out how to get your prize to you. Thanks so much for entering, everyone. Welcome to UBU Pod. Here you'll meet incredible people who tell us about their rich and interesting lives, of being visible, of working through challenges, and of coming out the other side. There's so much power in people's stories, and as a curious person, I love finding out how people tick. I'm your host, Megan Hamilton. I'm a speaking, visibility, and confidence coach, and I help you be you.
Welcome to another edition of UBU Pod. I am so excited to have two guests with me today. I have Haritha Nanaratna and Audra Williams, who are the co-creators of one of my new favorite tarot decks, which we will get into as well. In June of 2018, a few things happened. Craft cocktail maker Haritha met lifelong non-drinker Audra. A week later, the bar where Haritha was working went out of business. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe we'll talk about what bar that is, because I don't even know if I know. Audra convinced Haritha to spend a week on Toronto Island before job hunting. On that trip, Audra asked Haritha if he thought cocktails needed alcohol. Haritha stared into space in thought and said, "No." Audra said, "I've got an idea." Fast forward to now, and Audra and Haritha live together in a charming Parkdale apartment with three adorable cats. As Temperance Tonics, they have supplied drinks to TIFF events, raised $40,000 on Kickstarter to make a drink recipe book inspired by the tarot, and teamed up with MasterChef Canada winner Jennifer E. Crawford to create a sold-out night of food and non-alcoholic drink pairings. Such a good idea. They have done all of this fueled by a devotion to create both compelling non-alcoholic drinks as well as more accessible events for everyone. Welcome, Audra and Haritha.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
I'm so excited to have you here. So, okay.
Most importantly.
Say that again?
Thank you for buying the deck as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That's what I was just going to comment on. So I remember, Audra, I think I followed you on Twitter already or something like that. And at the time, I was also getting frustrated. Jen from She Does the City had talked about going to parties and not being able to have anything fun to drink and just feeling like frustrated by that. And I would find too, if I was the designated driver or if I didn't feel like drinking, my choices are like club soda or Coke or something like that. And, you know, there weren't a lot of like fun, non-alcoholic options. And so I was also really getting back into my tarot practice. And so when this Kickstarter came out, I was like, yes, 100%, I'm in. This sounds amazing. And when was that? Was that 2019?
Yeah, it was Halloween 2019.
Okay. Yeah. So that was Halloween 2019. And then finally, a few weeks ago, I got my deck in the mail. And I don't know if you're following me on Instagram, you will have seen that I posted sort of a very excited unboxing video of opening up this gorgeous deck of the Major Arcana. So I wonder if both of you could speak to how did this all come about? How did you come to make a book and a tarot deck around? I pulled the Temperance card this morning, by the way, for one of my cards. Yeah, I know. I was like, well, this is very fitting. So tell me how it all came about, because to me, it seems like such an obvious fit, but to others, they might be curious as to how everything came to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people either like love it right away, or they're like, that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. Like, there's no kind of like, okay. I mean, like when I met Haritha, we were like messaging back and forth and on a dating app. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't drink, like I literally have a tattoo of a temperance activist. And he said he was a bartender. And then he said to me, like, you know, this, I'm one of the few bartenders in the city that doesn't really drink. And like, he doesn't like not drink like I do. Like I never have in 45 years, mm-hmm. but like, we've been together 3 years and you had like, I think you like, we've gone to Cuba twice and you had like a drink in Cuba. Like anyway, but you know, and Haritha can speak more to his experience as a bartender, but like, I think he, because he's such a thoughtful person and
oh, thank you.
A kind person, whenever anyone would ask him for non-alcoholic drink, he would just make them one. And he said that actually people would ask him to pretend to make them an alcoholic drink because they needed to pretend they were drinking, which is something yeah. like mm-hmm. this world is such a disaster. But he didn't, you know, because he's who he is, like he didn't actually know until we started like going out on dates just how like rare that is. Like we'd be at a bar and one of the like not like it would be like I don't want to call anyone out, but like I don't know, Mulberry Bar, that's across the street from my old house, and like that's like a place that has like a whole wall, you know. And maybe it was like I don't know what they're like now, but I asked for something.
It's closed now, so maybe you're okay, well,
but I asked for something non-alcoholic and they were kind of like, oh, like I don't really know. And I was just like, well, I know you have ingredients back there, you know, like just like put something together. And it's just like, you know, I always say like cranberry sodas don't count. Like, I don't understand how that became like the default, like fancy non-alcoholic drink. It's not like it's good.
So fancy.
So I guess like, as we started seeing this, like Haritha realized that there was this big gap, you know, and I was working at the time at the Center for Social Innovation. And like, you know, there are people on staff there who are like Muslim or like in recovery or like you know, any number of religions or any number of reasons a person might not want to drink. And you know, and some of them had said to me like, it's really like it's difficult at events because I go to events and there's kind of nothing. And so yeah, so we were, you know, our third date was a week on Toronto Island. And I asked Haritha because I knew that he like in his own time like spent a bunch of time making alcoholic drinks, and I was just like, you know, there's this real need for it. And so, hello, sorry, our neediest cat is shouting. I don't know how much detail to go into, but I also want to let you talk about, like, I don't know, like your experiences as a non-drinker and even like diversity in hospitality. And like, there's so many parts.
Oh, there's
to it.
Like, there's yeah. rabbit holes upon rabbit holes there. But it was something that I took on as like non-alcoholic cocktails as more of like, as it started off as like a little personal passion project. And then I felt like I was testing myself more because I felt like I'd reached, you know, the apex of my achievement with alcoholic cocktails, and it was time for something new. And side benefit, I could drink them at work myself. I wasn't abstinent. I was just, I just never really enjoyed the effects. And
you've said to people that was like a career limiting.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's, you know, the hospitality industry, it's, you know, famous for, you know, just being really hard drinking and, among other things. And, you know, it's, I'm very grateful to that the industry is seeing a pretty massive shift. I mean, even pre-COVID, there was increasing pushback against that culture. If you're not out drinking with you know, coworkers and just other folks in the same industry segment, you're not going to meet the people who can get you ahead in that industry. And
or they think that you're like not fun.
Yeah, you're just, you're standoffish. You're like, oh, you're in hospitality and you're not sociable. Well, you know, there's the door, buddy.
That's it right there. If you don't drink, you're not sociable.
Right. And it's
right.
It's such a weird, I don't know what you would call it, like someone just assumed that is the norm. Like giving wine.
That assumed neutrality of alcohol. And so the bar, like I'll name names, like Harita was working at Mr. Flamingo when we met, and like so we met a week before his birthday just by chance. And so on his birthday he texted me and I think he was like, yeah, I got to work and like my key to the safe isn't working and like my boss isn't answering the phone or something like that. And I was like, I don't really think you work there anymore. Like, it no longer seems like a place of employment, you know. And he did have to go to the labor board to get back pay, and you know, it was just like this whole big struggle. And I think that, I mean, you were already, I think, pretty soured on the industry, but that really kind of like, you're just like, what am I doing with this? And so we went to Toronto Island and I had this idea. It just seemed to just make perfect sense. And I remember, like, I think it was like the Wednesday on that trip, like I bought like temperancecocktails.com. Like I bought the URL and I bought the I got the Instagram account, and we did, like, we changed our name to Temperance Tonics later for a few reasons. Like it's actually a better name, and but the word cocktails was really causing all of our Facebook Instagram ads to get flagged and be taken down. Anyway, so that's the thing. But yes,
really?
You know, like, okay. Honestly, okay. Like hours every week that, like, because it's just bots, right? So like bots kind of like scrape the thing. And our recipe book was taken down for being sexually explicit. And I was just like, what? And then I realized that in the description of it, I say, like, you know, these are 22 brand new drinks. These are not quote unquote virgin versions of other drinks. And so the word virgin, like, just like freaked out. Which is just so surprising.
Of all the things that you see on Facebook.
That's just it. We get terrible ads all the time. So temperance at the time was obviously like the word temperance, like that is, you know, it's a good fit. But we didn't, at the time, we hadn't decided to map things onto the tarot. But we got back from that trip. CSI was having a wine and cheese, and so I was like, hey guys, fun fact, not everyone drinks, including many of your staff members, many of your employees or members. And if like this is a place that values like diversity, you know, equity and inclusion, like this is a huge thing that people just miss, you know. And
actually, until you told me about that, I hadn't realized that, you know, the problem I was experiencing like professionally was like endemic across like pretty much everywhere where you have a social aspect of work. Like people just assume like, oh, the bar is a thing, that's totally where people go, where people meet. And
yeah, and one of my clients is an HR app called Pilot, and the CEO Ben, like he's, you know, a very also like diversity, equity, inclusion minded person, and it's a queer owned company. And he said that like he knows that not drinking like would be a career limiting move. And like a friend of mine like posted on, like he worked somewhere, he posted that he was told by his boss that it was like holding him back. Like it's just such a strange thing. And so once I pointed it out, you know, they were like, oh yeah, that's my kind of sense. And so, because like you said, like, it's just like, they'll have like, it's a wine and cheese, there's just like fancy wines, whatever. But then there's just like a counter of full of cans of pop, you know, which is not right. Like the same. And Stanford University actually has a policy that like campus, like, official campus parties have to have what they call ENEABs, which is like, it's like equally appealing non-alcoholic beverages. Like they have to be like equivalent. So you can't have like 57 craft beers and like tap water, you know? Anyway, so, but at that event, so that came together quite quickly. And I was like, hey, great news. Like my boyfriend of now, like 6 weeks or whatever, we have a business. We're just launching it, this wine and cheese, not a big deal. It's in 3 days or whatever. And so is just like trying to make up drinks. And it was really important to us for that event in particular to have something that looked like a glass of wine. So if somebody wasn't drinking wine, no one would give them a hard time, because that's such a thing. And so we want people to be able to just be incognito if they want to appear to be drinking wine. So Harita made this like amazing, like it turned into the Hierophant kind of, it's like deep, smoky, deep red. So I just took on like designing this stuff, and I very impulsively named all of the drinks after Wes Anderson movies.
I think I remember that because he's one of my favorite directors.
Yeah.
I think the whole package to me was just like, yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like so evocative, and people would come up to us and first of all, they'd be like, do you have anything without alcohol? And we're like, all of it. And it's like, what? It was only like three drinks. I have a picture of someone and she's literally got her hands clasped. Like she's just like a kid in a candy store. She has three choices. Right. And so we really saw that people were connecting with that aspect and they're like, oh, like I love the Darjeeling Limited, like, or that's my favorite, like Moonrise King is my favorite movie, like I want one of those. And you know, when I was talking to Rita after, and I was like, you know, alcoholic beverages have a narrative mapped onto them, mm-hmm. like really strong. And I'm just like, you know, and Jennifer Crawford, like who won MasterChef Canada, is like a non-binary sober chef, and in their foreword to the book they wrote, they mentioned, they're like, if you think that alcoholic drinks don't have a narrative, like imagine like swapping Don Draper's Old Fashioned with Carrie Bradshaw's Cosmos, and like, you know, like that wouldn't happen, right? Like Don Draper's not ordering a Cosmo, like, and so mm-hmm. you know, people are like, oh, like my, and people's like identity is like, oh, like I'm this is my, the martini mm-hmm. I always drink or whatever. I know I'm alcoholic literate, but this is how I imagine it. And so we were like, you know, non-alcoholic drinks never have that unless they are like a virgin Caesar or like a virgin mojito, but that doesn't really, I don't mm-hmm. think count. And I think that that's like such a missed opportunity, because to me, like that seems like that's part of the magic of it, like mm-hmm. And so I know that, so we were like, oh, what's an amazing narrative we could kind of attach to? And then we thought of the tarot, because it's just like, there's so much narrative, and it's like, you know, it's not, I don't, it's not international, but it's not like,
it's not super regional.
Yeah. It's not just like a TV show from Canada in the night. Like, you know, like, I feel like it's, you know, like it's
not, yeah. I'm like, trying to think of, it's not like the Beachcombers or something like that.
Totally.
That's part two. The relic.
My friend Sarita is actually Bruno Gerussi's granddaughter. It's like a friend of mine, so she would love that reference. But So you know, we picked the tarot, and like people just responded right away. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to talk about more about like how. But one thing I do want to mm-hmm. say to set you up is that Sarita has said that like 10 years as a non-drinking person of color in hospitality, he felt like he was just like, you know, trying to push a boulder up a hill. And he said as soon as he kind of like dropped alcohol from what he was doing, like all of a sudden it's just like people are super stoked, and like everyone's like, there's, it doesn't seem like there's this weird like jockeying for position, like everyone's really welcoming, you've gotten like a ton of media attention, like you're just like, oh, all this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. It's yeah, it's I'd say it's a combination of like you know, in the former case, like just being like a bartender who works with you know, alcoholic ingredients, is you're just another fish in a very, very large pond. And the non-alcohol, like the non-drinking sober.
It seems just kind of a toxic pond too.
So, oh, well, like, yeah. it has its ups, but it definitely has its downs. The those valleys will kill you. this like the sober non-drinking or just like less drinking community is mm-hmm. Like, has been historically under, like just not catered to. That's, you know, changed somewhat in recent years with like the advent of like non-alcoholic spirits, but also those spirits are for the most part owned by like large alcohol conglomerates. So there's that itself is not really a neutral choice either. And like the barrier for entry for those is really high. It's like, you know, it's funny because then often people run into the same problem as they do with alcohol, because, you know, if you, unless someone is like a serious like cocktail aficionado or someone working in a restaurant, you know, chances are if you give them a bottle of a spirit, they're going to be like, oh, I don't really know what to do with this.
And
likewise with like something like Seedlip, you know, you have this thing and it's, you know, it looks very nice, but you know, what do you do with it? So
I guess it's just like, and you taught me, I don't know, like the, like how kind of white also like hospitality is. And
yeah, it's really hard. You know, speaking of, you know, career limiting things, you know, one thing that you can't change is, your race. And it's, I'd say in like most major cities around North America, it's, you know, it's a white business. And the only times I would find diversity outside of the kitchen, where, you know, conversely, minorities are very well represented, which says something about the industry and society as a whole. You don't get callbacks. I got lucky right at the outset of my career because a friend had gotten me a job as a busboy at a very well-known restaurant in the city, and from there I worked my way up to bartender, and from then on that name of the restaurant on my resume it opened a few doors, but it was still like just such a uphill struggle the entire way. And you know, I never really got anywhere in the end. Like I got into management roles, but only at really small restaurants. And the place I ended up being happiest in, because I finally had control over what I was doing, you know, ended up closing and laying everyone off without warning. So that was definitely a bitter career experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's genuinely good to hear Harry to talk about it, because he's just, obviously I love him, I'm marrying him, but like, he's just like, everyone agrees, he's just a lovely person and really wonderful and great character, but he's, you know, hearing him be like, I just worked so hard. Like, I just thought if I just kept developing my skills, if I just, you know, like somebody would notice, and it would kind of like, you know,
which is like the philosophy that is drilled into so many of us, you know, from school age.
Yeah. But then like, as soon as we did Temperance, you know, and I obviously like, I am like a communications person, and I, you know, I know Jen, like I've written for some places in town and stuff, but like, people were just like all of a sudden like interested and wanted to talk to him and wanted to hear his point of view and, you know, like this podcast and stuff. Like, I just think that it's, I don't know, it's just to me like a funny thing. And I'd love to hear he like write a piece about just having to like, you know, a bartender stepping away from alcohol and having their career kind of like flourishing.
That's actually a really super great angle to pitch to media sources about.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, I worked in the Toronto bar industry for years and years as well. And I can speak to the toxicity and the like culture of staying at the bar till 4 or 5 in the morning, drinking after everyone's gone home. And if you didn't, then you were like, you didn't have the same friendships that, you know, everybody had at the bar. And if you did stay, but didn't drink, it was sort of, you know, like people felt uncomfortable because we're either all going to be drunk together, or like, we don't want to have the one person who's not, you know, and then that person feels like an outsider and there's no sort of connection to be made. And not to say that that's good, but like, that's the least toxic element, I feel, in terms of bars and restaurants. Because good Lord, there's a lot that goes on in those places. And I love that too, Haritha, how that's like, that was your sort of career turning point, was turning away from the thing that you didn't really like to do anyway. And then all of a sudden, here we go, right? Yeah, I love it.
Me too. And I think that, yeah, it's just like you were saying, like, you know, as the person who's always been sober, like, people would rather, like, not my friends and chosen family or anyone who actually I would probably speak to this point, but like, growing up, people would rather not have me there than have me there not drinking, because people have a lot of feelings about someone else not drinking. You know, often more feelings than I have about somebody who is drinking. You know, like, I have my own reasons for not drinking. My mom's an alcoholic and I don't like being around like drunk people. You know, but I do think that like the way people react to somebody not drinking is very interesting, and they get defensive right away. And like, even if you don't raise it, like someone's like, oh, can I get you a drink? It's like, oh, no, thank you. And then, well, why? Oh, don't drink. Well, why? And then it's just like this hammering. And then if I say like, my mom's an alcoholic, and that was pretty like terrible growing up, then they're just like, whoa, whoa, like, I'm the one that's like overshared. I'm just like, I was just fine with my stupid ginger ale, but you like forced us to have this conversation because you can't process the fact that I'm not drinking, and now you're uncomfortable and I have to make you feel better. I'm so tired of this. And so it's just interesting. And even like talking about this project, like, I was in an elevator at CSI, and those elevators are surprisingly slow, just 3 floors. But I was talking to a coworker about like, oh, there's Kickstarter and non-alcoholic cocktails, and it's like almost got to 40,000. And this person would just turn and he's like, well, I want my cocktails to have alcohol in them. And I was like, great news. Yeah. They sure. mostly do. Like, when he was just like, and I think it's just like this funny thing, getting defensive. And then also, like, I think there's just like, but there's a thing and it's not for me. Like, why isn't it for me? And I guess if like that's part of that whole like perceived neutrality of alcohol, like people are just like, they just think it is neutral. And if you don't want it, then they like, they're like, what are you saying about me? Then I'm just like, I literally have never thought about you. But now, like, you know, like, I feel like if someone reacts that strongly to somebody not drinking, then like, that's something for them to figure out. That's like the them problem. But
totally. And that's
what you do. Like, best of luck to them. But it is like very strange.
Yeah. And it, but, I mean, I think it's very relevant to sort of this, this way we have of categorizing of like normal and other, and you can apply it to almost every single lens, right? Where you've got what we perceive to be, you know, and it obviously it even varies where you are in the world, but what is sort of the dominant culture, and then everything else is other, and then people who are within the other category just constantly feel, are made to feel of their otherness instead of just everybody truly being other and just like hanging out together with all of our differences.
Yeah.
Right. That's not, we haven't got there yet.
No.
Unfortunately, as a society. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the art within the cards. And then I'm going to pull a card for each of you. So we'll be right back.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer, bestie gift, or client appreciation present? My 30-minute tarot readings are back for the holidays. These sold out last year, so head over to ubuskills.com to learn more.
Okay, and we are back. So we've been talking about sort of even philosophy and politics around drinking versus not drinking, the bar scene, tarot. We've been talking about coming together and creating a really cool project. And Haritha, I'm wondering if you can talk to us about how you came up with the recipes for temperance tonics.
Well, the one of the very early ideas we sketched out was mapping a drink to each of the major arcana. And I was like, I barely knew anything about tarot at that point. But luckily, I think you brought along that book.
I think Liz Worth's book, I think.
Yeah.
Liz Worth was just on the podcast. Oh, that's so great. I love it.
And so I had to read through some of the pages or some of the sections, and you showed me your decks, I think, because you had the
Well Pixie and Known, which I love, and then the writer, the mm-hmm. Pixie Coleman Smith as well.
And yeah, from there we, you know, I would get like so cerebral about things sometimes, and it would just lock me down. So you were like, just write down like the first thing that comes to your mind for each of these. And I'm like, oh, like a magician, you know, it seems like a bubbly type, like light, airy.
And then you get like, and so then like we, it was kind of like the cyclical thing because mm-hmm. like, and then we have, I don't need to show the camera, I guess, because it's just audio. But like, the card for the magician is my friend Maisha. And Maisha loves purple. And Cindy, the illustrator who we're working with, had like, you know, gone to Maisha's like Facebook and looked at pictures of her and stuff. And then you're like, oh, like a lavender. Like it's interesting the way it's kind of like cut into each other.
Yeah, because I had like a vague idea at first, and then Cindy came back with the first concepts, and yeah, and like lavender and blue tones were throughout the piece. And so I'm like, oh, well, lavender, that's really easy and also fits perfectly what we're doing. So
but then with the temperance one, I think it's so interesting because mm-hmm. like the temperance card has pomegranates on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you incorporate like the original, like the Pixie Coleman mm-hmm. I think also has pomegranates, and then you incorporated the pomegranates like into the recipe.
Yeah, that one was a really tough one because, you know, it's temperance and like that's our signature card. So like, you know, I was stuck on that one for, it feels like months.
It
has to be the most amazing thing. It either had to be the most amazing thing or it had to be something super ironic. the pomegranate ended up being the light bulb moment, because from there, it led me to, you know, I love reading like Greek and Roman mythology and the story of Persephone and the pomegranate and and that fed into, I actually can't remember exactly how it happened, but it fed into an idea where, oh, like what is a thing that, you know, kind of like an omnipresent drink at a holiday event. And it's like, oh, eggnog, like people love eggnog during the holidays. And what if we had like a vegan non-alcoholic version that that also incorporated that that mythology aspect, and you know, being a temperance cocktail, it has the tarot side as well. And so yeah, it ended up being like a cashew nut milk sweetened with dates and honey, and just like a touch of acidity from pomegranate molasses and pomegranate seeds for garnish. Numbering the same amount of seeds that Persephone ate in the myth. That, you know.
Oh my God, I love it.
The drink is just beautiful white when we drink it. The honey is like, there's questions about if honey's vegan. So if you don't want honey, then there's dates, but there's no dairy. And then there's just like the, I believe
it's six. It's been a while since I've read it, because it's supposed to represent like the months of the year that that you know, we have winter because Cersei's upset that Persephone's down partying with Hades there.
Think about like, I'm like, oh my God, like the amount of like cranberry sodas I've consumed. And then there's just like this like amazing wine, which is like, what if we like incorporate all this mythology, and then we want to make sure it's accessible, and then like we'll make it wintery, and then like, you know, and just like
it was a perfect fit, because I, you know, I tried to incorporate narrative into like other drinks I had made at work for so long, and honestly a lot of it would fall flat, or people wouldn't get the references, because I was trying to be, you know, too much of an artiste. I'm like, oh, what about this movie that no one ever saw and was so captivating, and I hope someone asks me about it, because I'll talk their ear off.
And I think the people who respond to our drinks, like, they love that part of it, right? Like people, like, they love stories, and because the cards have so much story, and then if the drinks have story that complements it, like it's just been so incredible. And you know, and I know that some of the cards in particular, like, yeah, like you've just been like, oh, like I want to make sure that like I do this card justice, or do this like concept justice and stuff. And so it's been really like incredible. As for me, like, you know, my friend Timna once said that a person once put like orange juice into a ginger beer for her, and she felt like a queen, like, you know, like the bar is like, you know, but like over time, like especially during lockdown, like it's been just me, so poor Harith is having to give me drinks. I'm just like, love it. And he's like, but I am like, it's interesting because I've learned so much from him. Like, oh, like I'm like, I can smell the basil, but I can't taste it. Or like, you know, I think this one like needs like a bit more, like it's too tangy in my glands, or like I don't know, like I'm nowhere near on his level. And it's actually
giving you like a pandemic intensive person.
But it's just been interesting to me. I feel like, you know, we chat about the story, then I get to kind of pull apart the flavors and stuff. And with Jennifer, like, you know, Jennifer, like, won MasterChef Canada, like, this incredible achievement, and they said that they would, like, you know, go to restaurants and get recognized, and then the chef would send over a bottle of wine, and Jennifer was like, oh, like, I don't actually drink
it. Right,
and then people are just like, oh, they send it back, but, like, anyway, it's a whole thing. But Jennifer told us that they went to a 17 course tasting restaurant or something in the city. Jennifer's too classy to name names, but I don't know what it was. But the only non-alcohol choice they were offered was Orange Crush. And like,
that's truly
like, I'm not like,
Wow.
But I've actually made an Orange Crush commercial. So I drink a lot of Orange Crush as a child. And like, I know that that's like a palate destroyer. Like, you don't have like, you're having these like 17 courses of jelly and you're just like trying anyway. And so that was part of why we decided that one of the rewards for the Kickstarter was going to be this like beautiful dinner, that like this drink pairing with Jennifer and Haritha, which of course we have not been able to have because there's a pandemic. But we were lucky enough to visit Jennifer in Nova Scotia in September. And was it Rosh Hashanah we were there for?
I think so, or maybe just before.
Yeah, and like they made this with wonderful food, and they made drinks. We just got like just this sense of like, you know, like what things could be like if people just like, well, I don't know, we're willing to, I guess, like approach things a bit differently. Yeah, so
I love it. And so tell me a little bit too about how the artwork came to be. So did you just sort of let the artist, and who was the artist again?
Her name is Cindy Fan. And so we had this idea. We were actually like, we do a lot of our like really good brainstorming, like when we're out on errands and we park the car and we're kind of too tired to go in the house yet. We're just like gathering our strength. And I was just like, people are loving the story. Like people are loving Intemperance and Terror. And like, what if we do this? And the whole thing just kind of like came together. Like I just like Kickstarter, we'll do a deck, we'll do a book. And so I'm like, okay, we've got to find an artist. And so I looked at a ton of portfolios, mostly of like recent OCAD grads. And Cindy's just like blew me away. And I emailed Cindy, but because I also, I'm like a practical person, I messaged like a few other people, but like I just like I was just like, okay, I can't just put all my eggs in this basket. This person might not even know if this email address works anymore. But like when Cindy wrote back and said that she was interested, like I literally started crying because I just couldn't picture, like the whole thing just took on a whole new, like it just leveled up everything, you know. And there's a lot of artists that would have been amazing, and but like Cindy is just like, I just can't even believe we get to work with her. You know, and she's yeah, and she's got her own like cool stories, and she's put some stuff in the cards as well. And so, you know, and she was very keen. We had this back and forth. We did the first initial few cards, and you know, did the Kickstarter. So the process has been like kind of varies from card to card. Like there are some cards that I had like a really strong vision for, and then there are some that I had like no idea that we would kind of try to like workshop back and forth. And there's some that Cindy actually had like, you know, this like a really strong vision for, and I was very thrilled to like let her do her thing. And so like the Fool card, like, you know, Cindy told me that like when she first moved here, it's like she told me like her like Chinese name, she moved here from China in 2001, I believe. I could be wrong with that, but she moved here in China as a child. And so she had a Chinese name, and I know there's that thing about people getting like English names or whatever. And I guess she or her parents wanted her English name to be Sunny. Super cute. But her teacher was like, that's a boy's name. It's going to be Cindy. And so just like, you know, and so like so the Fool card like is like a woman, like, or I mean, what he's called, it's not a robot.
Automaton?
Yeah, automaton figure, you know, it's very feminized, doing it like a Chinese fan dance, you know. And in the book, like Cindy talks about how like, you know, it's, she wanted it to like represent like her own experiences with like, and she said that I inspired by elements of my personal immigration journey and feeling out of place in my coming of age years, especially since I moved around a lot, I really wanted the figure to have a dynamic pose to reflect the spontaneity that this card represents, and use Chinese fan dancing as an inspiration with regard to moving and flowing with the rhythm of a dynamic and often absurd world. And so Cindy also did a ton of research on what the different cards meant and like brought her own stories, which was very incredible. But then then the card like fortitude or strength, like I just like the word fortitude better, it felt like a better fit. You know, in the Rider-Waite deck, it's a woman and she's with a lion. Is that right? Yes.
And yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, imagine if I was just, anyway. So with our deck, one of our very dear friends, his name is Gyrus, and he had a beautiful dilute calico named Mothra, and she was like his whole world. They were inseparable, and she unfortunately got kidney disease when she was just 4 years old. And she, you know, he tried, like he poured his heart and savings and soul into keeping her going, but it just, you know, it wasn't to be. And so he realized that he, you know, had to kind of say goodbye, and he booked like an in-home euthanasia appointment rather than, you know, just being at home. And so, and the man that came, you know, he was as in the card, he was a Sikh man. He was dressed head to toe in white, and he just like, he was like, this, like, what you're doing is very kind and you're taking care of her. And it was just like the most wonderful presence. And he just like, you know, he just, you know, because it's that thing where you're like, I could decide to do this tomorrow and this cat gets one more day. And he was just like, this is like, you know, a loving act, like, you know, and he just was this really lovely presence. And he was like a very kind of tall, broad person and like, you know, like head to toe in white. And it felt very mystical to me. Like, I mean, yeah, it felt very like a special, he felt like a special person to me. And so we wanted to reflect in the card, you know, the idea of like, there's lots of ways to show like solidarity and strength and fortitude. And so we kind of like gender flipped it in that like our lion is a lioness and the woman became a man, and he's like a you know, a Sikh man, and Cindy turned his like, you know, lab coat into kind of like a bit of a flowing robe. And you know, and to me that's just like a, you know, and people looking at the card, I mean, we tell that story in the booklet, but like they don't have all that backstory. But I feel like Cindy is so talented that, like, you can tell, like, what's, you know, you can, mm-hmm. like, the Jesse, you know, like, yeah, like, he's this tall, strong figure. He's kind of got his hand in her gently. Like, you just, I feel like without even knowing all the backstory, like, the way she's kind of drawn it, like, I think people just really, I don't know, respond. And mm-hmm. And then we had-
really evocative.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, we had things like, you know, the Emperor and Empress card, and we didn't want to, like, we're like, oh, they're so gendered, and, like, so we kind of did like a gender swap where we have, like, you know, non-binary drag queen Sasha Velour is the inspiration for our Empress. And then, you know, Frida Kahlo, like, in a suit and in her wheelchair, which was important to us as well, is our Emperor. And kind of like, anyway, so I could talk about every card. We thought about it a lot. And some of them are real people. Some of them are famous people. Some of them are just like depictions of narratives. And I don't know. And then, of course, the hermit is Haritha. And Haritha with Leo. Leo gets to be in the deck twice because I'm the world, and I've also got the cats with me. You know, then our friend Natalie's, you know, Walshots is the moon, and Gyrus is the hanged man. And it's just like our friend Chris is the star. You know,
oh, I love it. It's so, yeah.
And Jennifer.
That's beautiful.
So we've tried to really, I don't know. I just want people to, like, my hope was that if you, like I said, on the back of the deck, like, if it's your 100th card or your first card, like, I want it to be really accessible, because I know that some people are just like, oh, like, I could never learn what the cards mean, or, like, you know, like, I don't want people to feel like they don't know enough to engage with it. And it's almost kind of a bit nicer that it is like a major arcana deck of someone's first deck.
Yeah,
so I tried to, like, in the booklet, like, give people permission to kind of just, like, kind of play around. But then also, I do hope that if someone's been reading tarot for, like, 20 years, and this is, like, how we were so lucky to work with Miranda Elizabeth, who's, like, a non-binary queer sober witch who has been reading tarot for 10 years, and they were, like, invaluable to me. Like, I was just bouncing off cards, and they would either offer a tweak or let me know if it was, like, on the right track or wasn't on the right track. And so so I like the fact that, like, you know, someone like Haritha, who doesn't know anything about tarot, like, he feels like he can connect with it, and then someone like Miranda, who's been working with tarot for years, is just like, oh, like, this totally changes the way I think about this card. And, you know, with the Emperor, Miranda, it's like, you know, the Emperor's always been a card that kind of, like, I bristle at, but then, like, making it Frida Kahlo, like, just completely, like, it just changed the way I thought about it, and, like, now I connect with that card in a new way. And so, and that's, like, you know, that's part of why, like, the diversity of the deck was so important to us, and we wanted, like, different types of bodies and different races and different cultures. And, you know, we only had 22 cards, but we tried really hard to make sure that, like, there would be cards people could, like, see themselves in, and, you mm-hmm. know, and see, like, old narratives in new ways. Like,
yeah, well, I think, and that's what's been so interesting for me, as, you know, as when I pull up the deck and pull a card, or pull a card for somebody else, is I love, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like in the Temperance card where she's just, like, mixing the two together. And so, you know, my traditional understandings of the card mixed with what I already have a personal association with, and now new information. I love sort of just letting it all settle and just saying whatever comes to me. So in fact, that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pull a card for each of you, and then give whatever comes up for me to you.
This is so exciting. Yeah.
Reading both, with our own deck.
No, this is such a wonderful first way to have all this happen.
I love it. And this is also going to be, I mean, you're going to have, because you have such personal responses and personal details in the card. So certain things are going to come to you, and they'll get mixed up again, like with the Temperance card, with whatever I have to share with you as well. So Haritha, I'm going to start with you. And is there any, and you don't have to, I can just pull a card for you if you want, but do you, also you could ask a question. If you would like, if there's something you'd like more clarity about, if there's something on your mind, if you're trying to make a decision, what do you
think? Change of environment is a big thing on our mind right now.
Okay.
Doing a relocation to, like, a small Nova Scotia town, and Haritha's lived in Toronto his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything that comes up, anything you should know about a change in location? Does that sound like a good question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go off mic for 1 sec. what does Haritha need to know about a change in location? Okay, so you got fortitude reversed.
Oh.
So I think the first thing to think about is that traditionally this card, traditionally with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck and with other decks, it's called this as well, but it's known to me as strength. And so I like the idea that even with a different name, it's still the same. And so whatever home you've created is already outside of where you currently happen to live. You'll be bringing your home with you wherever you decide to be going, whether it stays here or whether it goes somewhere new. Oh, this is just the card we were talking about too. Oh, it's so lovely. I think, oh, and you know, for those of you who are listening in, get your hands on this deck so that you can follow along as well. And I just heard the backstory about this card. When we look at cards reversed, there's so many different ways of thinking about it. One of them is that we're blocked from being able to realize the expression of the card. And that might be, Haritha, that you don't know your own strength, that you haven't been able to fully tap into it. And I think, you know, combined with what we were saying, what I was saying earlier about the names being different, but still having the same thing about your internal home, I think that is part of your strength. And that lets you know that it almost, you know, it almost doesn't matter what decision you make, because home is what you make of it. And it's an internal feeling that you create around your space, and that you'll be able to bring that wherever you go. And that there's a strength in you that whether or not you have been able to fully realize it is there regardless and will always be there for you. Does that resonate with you? Does that feel
comforting, actually?
It's comforting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's been a you know, thinking about this whole potential move has been, you know, there are a lot of feelings about it because I've lived in Toronto my whole life, and also in like a fair amount of housing and financial insecurity. So it's like, it's such a daunting prospect, but you know, logically I see the advantages, and I can see the, you know, some of the struggles we might face, but yeah, it's good. I mean, I get down on myself a lot, but you know, Andre's probably the first person to, you know, to remind me that I've done things that, you know, mean that I can handle a lot of things in the future.
Yeah,
seriously, yeah. You just made like a giant project happen in the middle of a pandemic when suppliers are like, you know, hard to.
There was like a while where we could get bottles, but not lids.
Yeah. For
Oh my god.
I was like, turns out lids are among the top two most important parts of bottles. You know, the disaster. Like our friend Natalie Zina Walshatz, who's the moon in the deck. Like she has this incredible book out called Hench, and the paperback edition. Like, you know, and she's with William Moore, which is like an imprint of HarperCollins. So this is like a place with resources and. Anyway, like obviously, you know what they're doing, and like her paperback was delayed because there just wasn't paper, or there wasn't people to work at the printing presses and stuff. And so it's been like, you know, we were so sure we could hit this deadline. And then of course the pandemic, like, you know, and everyone who's on the project, like their lives were impacted. Like people all of a sudden with their kids at home, or like, you know, people like went on an international trip and got stuck where they were. And like, there was just, you know, the impact was very huge. And so getting the deck finally done, and then the like the book being like, you know, like it's almost see it, but there were like I think like a couple months where like they were like the printing company was just like, we can't, like we've sent it out, it's on a shipping container, and that's all we can really tell you, like so yeah, it's been a lot of outside of our control.
Anyway. It's almost like this deck is
yeah, very hanged by the way.
It's almost like this deck is a physical representation of your strength.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love it. Okay, Audra, what about you? Do you have any, do you have a question? Are you seeking clarity anywhere? Would you like to just see what comes up? What feels good for you?
I think that the place I'm often looking for clarity is like, I'm such a collaborator by nature. Like, you know, as soon as I have an idea, I like message a friend. I'm like, let's do this thing together. You know, and I also like a lot of the things I work on are, like, you know, I put up a website in a day. Like it's a lot of day projects, which of course this project has not been, but it has been very collaborative. And so I guess like I'm always like curious about like my own, like, you know, like what could I create by myself that is like, you know, like I don't think I want to write a novel, but like what would be like a kind of a thing I could put in the world that I could do like mostly on my own, like or like even is that a good idea? Like, yeah, I'm just always like, you know, maybe I just get energy from collaborating, or maybe like I just don't want to like be the only like I'm often like steering the ship, but there's still like oarsmen or whatever. So yeah, I guess kind of like, should I try a big creative undertaking of my own? Like, what should it be? Like, those are the questions that kind of plague me.
Okay. So why don't we say, Audra's looking for some clarity about a solo project.
Yeah.
Okay. So Audra is looking for some clarity about a solo project. The higher
Hierophant.
So this is the year of the Hierophant, right? It's Hierophant is 5, and 2021, 2 + 2 + 1 = 5. So this would be, we're like almost midway through November, but at some point, if it hasn't already, and I get the sense that there may be an idea that you already have, like there may be something brewing inside of you that you've sort of been wondering about. I think this card is letting you know that that is the way to go. That's if it doesn't end up being that, that is the starting point to start dreaming and imagining and, you know, allowing yourself some time and space to just, what does it look like? What does this thing look like? What is it? How do I feel? What does it look like when I'm doing it? How am I feeling as I'm doing it? And allow yourself to really feel into that space of that dreaming, that expansive dreaming that, you know, as one of my prior coaches, who's also a tarot reader, Jericho Mandeber, used to say, you're allowed to dream as big as you want, and that's your birthright.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yes, I am. Yes. Oh my God. And why do I always stop myself? And so if you have been stopping yourself, this is a sign for you to go forward, and you've got support around you. This can also very much just be your own thing. And if it's been, if that idea has been daunting, or like if maybe you see collaborative projects in order to keep people around you, then you can know that you will still have your people around you even if you're doing something on your own, and you can still seek their companionship, friendship, guidance, but it can still be your own. Does that feel?
Yeah, that's really lovely.
Yeah.
I always feel like I want to be like, what value am I adding like in every interaction? So it's nice to know I don't actually always have to be adding value to have a, I don't know, relationship or friendship or whatever.
Well, and the Hierophant as well is sort of about, it's, you know, it's about spiritual growth, and it's about, you know, it is a very weird card. I struggle with it a lot. There's the image of the person who is the sort of spiritual leader, and then the two sort of monks who are bowing down before them. And I find that like relationship really complicated, but I think that, you know, taking away from that image that we all know with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and sort of, again, taking on a new framework of, you know, creativity and spirituality can really intermingle nicely. And so where, you know, what is exciting to you about that and about allowing your own ideas to percolate on their own with, you know, fueled by the continuing momentum that you're creating by this, by whatever it is that, is making you feel excited and motivated.
Yeah. Yeah. And our deck, the Hierophant, is an indigenous poet named Deirdre. And we just like the idea of like, yeah, like, you know, what does a credible spiritual leader look like? It definitely like white guys have really been crushing it in that department. And so, and, you know, we've had people like a lot of teachers have told us that like, they really love like that. It's, you know, it's a way, it's like a, you know, like a person to look up to. But not a person to look up to, like in like, yeah, it's not like an authority kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, but also like, what does credibility look like? Like credibility looks like a young indigenous poet, or, you know, and then like the monks, and then she's got like her two sweet cats are like flanking her.
I like that.
Yeah. We didn't want to like, we weren't trying to rewrite it, but we just really wanted to like, I guess, yeah, challenge the idea of like, who do we turn to? Like who holds the traditions? Like, that's why we did it with Deirdre. So,
well, and even the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, you know, it's based on the earliest decks that that they had available to them at the time. But many of the cards they sort of retranslated to be more like of the times, and even the particularly religious ones. That was just to show, like, for. You know, in this modern world, we might see these like really Catholic or Christian based images as, you know, something quite specific. But at the time, they were more, it was almost like more of a metaphor. Like it was what, how everybody interpreted XYZ sort of culturally. So I think it's really amazing. And you were talking about the Wild Unknown deck. It's a very similar thing, right? It's taking the themes and the archetypes and the storylines inherent in tarot and giving them a modern lens so that we don't have to do that translation in our head, right? And we don't have to keep, I don't have to look at what looks like a nun in the High Priestess. I can, you know, think of her in a different way. Anyhow, listen, it's been wonderful to talk to you both about the deeper stories behind how this deck even came to my house, and, you know, your storylines together and how you've intermingled just like the Temperance card to create this wonderful project. And I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing those stories with us. And where can people find out more? Where can people buy all your stuff?
TemperanceTonics.com is our the website where you can order drinks, you can order a deck, you can pre-order the recipe book, you can order posters. It's probably best. I made like a standalone site that's just like the TemperanceDeck.com, just because like I just think like some folks, I think people connect with different parts of the project, and like I said, people sometimes will get the connection between both right away. But, you know, wanting to give like the drinks more of a chance to shine, and knowing that some people are going to be coming to the project, like, you know, even just from a marketing perspective, being able to point people just towards a website about the deck is, I think, it's going to make things a bit simpler. And then we have all these like Facebook issues with the things being pulled down and stuff. So, but yeah, TemperanceConnects.com, and then the TemperanceDeck.com is where it's like the sort of the mini site for the deck itself, and we're Temperance.Tonics on Instagram.
And I'll be linking to all of these in the show notes as well. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much, you both. And when can we expect the Minor Arcana?
Oh, yeah. Great question. So, I mean, it definitely is a dream. And we have been brainstorming with Cindy once. Like, so Cindy, once Cindy immigrated to the U.S. during COVID and so wasn't able to work. But now that Cindy's able to work, like we can, like we're chatting about it more. And so, you know, we had thought we could maybe do like launch it also on Halloween for that symmetry, but we really don't want to launch it until like we fulfilled all the existing orders with the book. So that's like such a question mark because,
right,
you know, and like it's like, you know, I mean, we're like the least impacted. Like I've been reading heartbreaking articles about like independent bookstores that like, you know, like their holiday season is kind of what they count on all year, and like the selling, and people come in and they buy like The Kill a Mockingbird, you know, like the classics are out of print and like new books are like paperbacks haven't hit the shelves yet, and it's going to be like a really hard holiday season for a lot of publishers, authors, and independent booksellers. So like, you know, the two of us, like we're not suffering the most, but it is a lot of outside of our control. So hopefully once, even once the like we have any kind of like, you know, like we eventually got like an arrival date on our phone, like even if we have a sense of when they'll be in, but we just want to like, you know, people have been very patient with us. And obviously like a lot of this has been outside of our control. And even like, you know, for Harita, like trying to work on recipes during COVID and not like grocery stores aren't open, and you know, there's been so many challenges. But so we want people to feel like we're not just like starting some other thing while they're still waiting to get their books, but in the meantime, like, we've been brainstorming a lot about it, and you know, how to have like, you know, court cards that aren't like gendered and like militaristic, and you know, and what different narratives, like, and I feel like now that we've worked with Cindy on this one project, like, you know, there's a lot more kind of collaborative from the outset. So to me, like when something is really real, there's a shared Google Doc, so we have a shared Google Doc where we're all just kind of putting our ideas, and you know, so once so Cindy's going to start doing some loose sketches over the holidays when she's finally able to come back and visit. And we get to meet her in person, which we have not. And then when she goes back, then, you know, hopefully we're going to try to get like a few of the court cards drawn just to give people like a sense of what we're going to do. And then, yeah, once maybe in the spring, like maybe we'll have once the books are out, but we really like, it's always been the dream. And we, you know, we thought that if we get to 50,000, then we would be able to do the full deck with this project. But honestly, you wouldn't have that deck in your hands if we were doing the full deck right now. So yeah, it's going to be a process. And you know, even like once we start the Kickstarter, like, you know, Cindy's work is very detailed and thoughtful, and we want to get it right. And so it is like, it's, you know, it takes kind of time to do each card, but I really like, I don't know, so I can't give you a date, of course, but hopefully like early 2022 we'll be able to launch the crowdfunding campaign, and then it'll be simpler in some ways because there won't be all these other, you know, recipes and drinks and stuff. But I just hope people in the meantime, like, do connect with the Major Arcana deck, and we're determined to like find a way to make sure that people who bought this deck can, like, you know, maybe you just buy the Minor Arcana, so then you put them together. And you know, and we're, you know, and that's part of why we wanted to make sure that this deck was really high quality. Like, we got it early printing, and it just, like, paper was kind of flimsy and the colors weren't great. And so we were like, you know what, like, let's make it beautiful. Like, let's do the gold edges and the thicker paper.
It was like, the works.
Yeah. And then the linen finish was like important to reflect her work. And so hopefully people will feel really like it's meaningful to have for a while. And then, then we'll hopefully stick with us while we figure the rest of it out. But we're very determined to do the full deck. And I think that will like mean a lot to like have that out in the world. But I really love the idea of people like pulling these cards and like getting insight and all that stuff in the meantime. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, good. That's good. We know it's coming. I love it.
It's hard to predict anything in 20, like, you know, this
world. I know, like, yeah, you're right. Just, as long as we know it's coming, that's all we need. I love it. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Megan.